Hallelujah. Well, we just, again, welcome all of our family because you're participating in the service with us. I got a text, as we often do, almost every service, unless they're having to do something or minister someplace, and Gary and Sue are sitting pretty close to Carl, I think. So, Carl, be on your best behavior, please. Yeah, so it's always an honor to have them and all of you participating with us. And those that are watching online, you're praying for us during the service and praying that God's mind and his purpose, his will is being accomplished. I appreciate a family that Carl invited, and they're back again, Mike and his family. So thank you so much. We appreciate you. And so they said, his wife was telling me, we watch you guys online, you know, even when we're not here. So that's really a great honor. So hallelujah. We figured out, you know, this week that there's about, we tried to go conservative, and we looked at it, and Harry and I sat down, and with what's, you know, you got YouTube, and then you got streaming, and then, but there's, we were on several other venues. Actually, our TikTok, you know, it gets, as far as the shorts and stuff, it gets in the thousands of hits, which is, and we're not after numbers, but we're after people being fed. And, but we feel conservatively that there's about 500 of us, at least, on a weekly basis, that are actually watching, sitting down and watching, not just hitting the service, but actually watching. So praise God. Hallelujah. It's great. And you're a part of it. We love you so much. Glory. So in just a moment, when the kids are being dismissed, we will... Harry's already there. I told him before service, I said, get ready. You'll probably be up there a lot. Candy said, you're up there a lot anyway. So, yeah, praise God. It doesn't matter if it's Harry or Robert. These guys are working with me. And hallelujah. So let's just stay in prayer. Sundays have been really different. A lot of times sometimes I do have notes, but sometimes I don't. It's like the Holy Spirit has been just telling me to stay so very open and speak out of my heart, really for the purposes of Jesus-type meetings. And when I say Jesus meetings, just go where he goes. And I still believe I have a direction this morning, but we just want to stay in the Spirit because I believe that the Lord wants to do some wonderful things, hearts and minds, and so praise God. But I appreciate everyone that gives, and I appreciate your support and your desire to help this ministry. You know, holidays are coming up. Bless your families. But don't forget your church, please. And that's about all I'll say about that this morning. And please continue to remember and ask God what he'd have you to give during this season. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give, those that are watching online and those that are here and through the many venues that we have, for easy access for people to give. And we just pray that you'll bless. And Father, provide first. This is our first prayer, that the grace of God is multiplied to them. The kingdom of God is manifest in their life, that they go without nothing, and then out of that abundance, that they're able to minister to the corporate. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you're writing out a check, it's Family Prayer Center. If you're giving cash, any offering that you want credit for, you give it in the offering envelopes. So, amen. And online, thank you so much for your giving. Let's all stand and praise God. Our kids, our little ones will be being dismissed. And amen. Marty, give us something. Glory. If you have something and you want to bring it down, now's a good time. forget, tonight we'll be praying prayer room. We'll spend that hour and a half just worshiping, praying in the Spirit, and doing our confessions individually as the screen Rolodex provides that for us. And let's come and support it. We've got two more weeks. Let's give it all we got, spend some time in prayer, and then we'll have like 6 weeks where we'll be off for a while and for family purposes. And so two more weeks. Don't miss next Wednesday night. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. Now you can go back up there. Harry's going to be ministering, so we're looking forward to that. Praise God. So, amen. Harry, just start us out. Just worship for a little bit. Let's not rush the Holy Spirit. Let's see if any of the thoughts that I was thinking prior to the service are going to be usable. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. So shut yourself in. This is kind of a private time and a time of also us corporately worshiping God. Jesus, come in our midst. We've never been here before, and much of the church has never been here before. We don't really know how to have Jesus meetings. Can't do it without you, Jesus. It's all through you. We shut down all of our defenses and even what we know. We yield up to you, Jesus. Everything that we are, we surrender. For if you had your way, the blind would see and the lame would walk, but nobody would leave with an infirmity. The power of sin would be broken. Every heart would be set free. The minds would become quiet, still. Restlessness would vanquish away. Jesus, come in our midst. Walk in the center aisle. Step out into the rows. Sit down next to people. Put your arms around them. Jesus. Jesus. Sing the song, Harry. Worship him. Worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Sing it to Him. Shut out every distraction. Shut out every distraction. Shut out every distraction. Jesus, I sing praises to your name. Worship you, Jesus. Oh Lord, praises. Lift your hands, would you? Just magnify Him. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We've seen praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name, Jesus. Oh Lord, for your name, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Manda keres ele keres. Praises to your name, oh Lord, just praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, Jesus. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great. Hallelujah, Jesus. When knowledge is not enough, in fact, all of the knowledge of everything that He's given us in truth and revelation was for a purpose. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will never pass. We ought to love his word more than we love the life that we live. But it was all for a purpose. His coming, his word, his truth, everything he's spoken. The purpose was to bring us back as sons and daughters of God to have a fellowship in his presence. The first purpose wasn't even about even the evangelism of the world or the harvest. The first purpose was you. Was you. Hallelujah. The first purpose was to know you and you to be able to know him. It's all revelation, all truth, everything that we get to help supply you down a road to be able to walk into him is all for a purpose. The end. Is for you to have a face-to-face fellowship with him and to know him far more than a church setting. Hallelujah. Now, this won't be for everybody. And I don't mean to demean everybody, anybody. I don't want to marginalize you. Because it's whosoever will. It's for whoever would say, I want that. But not everybody wants all they can get. But I can tell you this, if you ever do go far enough, if you ever go far enough into him that you feel the places of intimacy that was provided for you, you'll be hooked. You'll absolutely be hooked. And I'm talking about places of intimacy where you spend privately with him. I said to the worship team today, and I wanted to encourage them, I said, spend as much time in your going as you possibly can. Even if you don't set aside those cubicle times of worship. I mean, that's what we aim for, right? To be able to have. But if you don't, just squeeze in as much God as you can during your day. Pause at times when nobody is watching you. Step inside like Superman changing in a phone booth. Step inside a bathroom or a place or someplace just to say, I love you. I love you. Because the hour that he comes, you meet him face to face and you begin to know him in intimacy. You'll find out that everything else I feel sorry. I really do. And I'm not saying this in an indignant way. But preachers that want to grow their church, growth sometimes marginalizes them from knowing God. You even wanting to do evangelism sometimes. That sounds, you're really cutting hairs. But a lot of times people want to do great works and they imagine themselves winning continents and hundreds and thousands of people. And they never do They never do step over into that love, that agape. When you know this, He doesn't want your works first. He doesn't even want your evangelism first. He doesn't even want the harvest first. He wants you. Hallelujah. He wants you. And you're the only individual that can give Him you. He can't take you. You have to yield you. Now, I would have loved to have been one of the ones that followed Him in the crowds. I'd have followed Him. But knowing what I know now, on this side, when He chose the 70, He chose 70, I'd have said, well, can I at least be one of these? But then when He chose the 12, I'd have said, wait a minute. You mean there's something more? Because if there's more, I got to have more. Not because of status quo. Not because somebody would say, wait a minute. He's part of an elite group. In fact, the more you get to know Him, you just hate notoriety. Compared. But if he'd have let me in on the 12, if I could have been 13, I wouldn't have watched Him very long before I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When you went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, you only let 3 guys go up there with you. Peter, James, and John. You even drew a line between 2 brothers. You wouldn't even let Andrew go with Peter. What was the difference? I noticed that, Lord. And when you went into Jairus' daughter's bedroom and raised her up, only those 3 got to go in there with you. And when you got to the end of your life and you wanted to spend that last few moments with the Father to prepare you for the cross. You said to the rest, you stay here and you 3 go a little further with me. I'd have said, wait a minute. This 12 stuff's not working for me. It's not working. I've got to be one of those 3. Not so the rest can look at me. But if you've got a place of intimacy that's beyond, because something about them provided a place that even the rest didn't have. I'd have said, I got to be one of the 3. But oh, what would have got me the worst was to find out that even beyond the 3. Where'd I go? John 1:18 said, 17 I believe starts. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The word bosom means it's the word cavity. Actually, it's the word bay. It's the closest place to the heart. It's this internal place. It signifies the closest place of a human being. So we know Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. We know he's in the bosom. That's the closest place that the word could describe. I said, Lord, the 70's not enough. The 12's not enough. The 3's not enough. But I noticed, John even said in his last chapter that he wrote, the disciple that the Lord loved. If I'd have been the rest of the disciples, I think I'd have slapped him. But Peter wanted to know about what he just said about the betrayer. And there was one. John uses the word the second time, only two times in his gospel, but he uses it the second time. Once Jesus is in the bosom, and now he said, there was one leaning on the bosom of Christ. And I'd said, Lord, no, wait a minute. I can't even be the 3 anymore. I've got to be this one. I've got to be this one. And every single one of us can be that one now. Hallelujah. Well, I'd rather have knowledge, and I'd rather have, you can walk in that deep intimacy. I like to just study the word and really have a lot of knowledge. Wonderful. Might I remind you that this man that leaned over in the bosom wrote the Apocalypse book. The scholars are still trying to figure out the depth of what he saw. Caught up into heaven and looked over 2,000 years in the future. I'll tell you, the last one to live and never did, never was martyred. The only one to stand at the cross. All the rest of them denied him. Something about getting in the bosom of Jesus that goes beyond knowledge. Oh, give me knowledge. My God, I spend my life. This is what I do. I read and read and study and pray. And God, show me the revelation. I want knowledge. But I can tell you something. Well, Pastor, I didn't like what you preached last week. I disagreed with it. Okay. You're right. And I'm wrong. I don't care. I don't have time to discuss it with you. I've got to go to a place called bosom. Because out of that place, knowledge won't get me there. Keep your debate. Keep your right. Feel good that you are right. But Father, take me to a place where I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Would you just lift your hands and magnify him? I glorify you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise. We glorify you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sing it one more time. Forever. I love that. It's back and forth. I'm listening more than anything. Upon the throne, Jesus. Part you know, just magnify Him. Whoever you will be, the Lamb. Lamb upon the throne, Jesus.
Yes, bound you down,
Jesus. Worship you alone. Jesus, forever you will be. Yes, Jesus. Yes.
You're the
Lamb upon the throne, Jesus. Exalt you.
I gladly bow to thee.
Worship you alone. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 21, that he said, if a man will do, keep my commandments, me and my Father will come, will manifest, that my Father will love him, and I'll love him, and I'll come, will come, and will manifest ourselves to him. Jesus. Two verses later in 23, he says, if you do these things, and in essence, we'll take up our abode, our mane, which is the word staying. We'll stay with that man. You could say, well, that's a positional truth of the born again. I understand that. But in context to the intimacy of that chapter, he's saying there's a place of abode, a place of staying. You just simply don't experience unless you choose to worship you, Jesus. Jesus. Out of our place that we're walking in these days, more and more dreams are coming. And people share those dreams with me. And these are part of the end times. He said he would pour out of his spirit on all flesh. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And it wasn't categoristic in that that was the only thing that old men could do and young men. And there's also an understanding that that is not age related as much as maturity in Christ. When people that are spiritually mature receive dreams, they differentiate between a pizza dream or the dreams that people have, and everybody dreams. Some people say, I don't dream. Yes, you do. It's a proven scientific fact that everybody dreams multiple dreams a night. Now, you may not remember your dreams, and you may wake up with a clean slate of thought that you, I didn't even dream anything last night, but you did dream. Some people have incredible dreams, don't we, Amber? But when you know that you have a dream, and then I tell people if they want to present the dream, the very first thing you do is you write it down. I mean, you upon awakening, if you can, you write it down or record it in your phone, your notepad, or however you want to do, so that you don't miss anything. And then you don't misconstrue or add to later or leave anything out that was vitally important. So we're seeing God come on the scene and more and more dreams and visions, and you're going to be people that are going to have encounters with angels, because we're a spiritual church. So I tell people, write it down. If you give me a dream, that does not mean that I'm going to recognize it publicly. It may be a private, and it may always stay private, and it may, just because it's not recognized in the pulpit does not mean that it was not from God or that it's not extremely profitable for you or for the body of Christ to be prayed out and to be used as God wills. But as God leads me, and I usually sit on a dream 3-4 weeks, sometimes 6 months. How you doing, Harry? Good. I don't always tell you who gave me the dream, but in these cases I will, because these are spiritually mature people, and I want you to understand, and each one of them has a value in everything that we're saying this morning. Excuse me. This first one that I'm going to read came again from Robert. I don't have a date on this, but that doesn't matter. I was visiting a new, larger church for a special Easter service. And I sat through the worship. Now, we're in a dream now, okay? We understand that. I sat through the worship, and it was nice. When the pastor went up to preach, he immediately started teaching a greasy grace message. And there's new people, so I'll just... and maybe new people online. We kind of talk a language around here, and it's so important that we at times give explanation to our vernacular so that people, everybody understands. So when I say greasy grace, or when he put greasy grace in these terminologies, which is not wrong, it means a grace that the Bible does not teach. It's outside of the margin of truth concerning what God's word teaches as the true grace of God. In other words, subject matter like righteousness, how does a man or a woman live righteous or holy once they're born again, would be under that category of grace. And then greasy grace or radical grace steps outside of those lines and is not defined is outside of the definition of the Word of God, which makes it improper. As soon as I noticed the message was heresy, I went into an argumentative vision, augmented vision. I was looking over the crowd of about 600 people. I saw a light emanating from each person. 60% of the people had a red light glowing around them. The other 40 had a white light growing on them. I could see a zoomed in view of the red lit people, and I saw their faces with a wide eyed, not blinking. I saw them stuffing their mouth with popcorn as they laughed at the preacher's jokes, and they were brainwashed. I also saw the faces of the white lit people, and they had an impassive, drained look on their face. They could not blink. With their locked stare on the pastor, I noticed their white lights slowly fading to red. The Holy Spirit simply said to me in conclusion, the red are not born again. And then I came out of the vision and I immediately started to weep as if I was at a funeral mourning the deaths of many people. So we're understanding that we're in a place where the church, the true church of Christ, the word is ecclesia in the Greek, but the church is, there's the big portion of the church emerging, wanting to know him in the manner in which I just described him a few moments ago in 20 minutes of exhortation, talking about, or 30, talking about knowing him beyond knowledge. I love Bible colleges. I've been to one. I've got a degree. That's wonderful. But no degree casts out a devil. No degree heals the sick. It takes intimate knowledge of the Word of God. We're changing. We're changing into something by revelation. We're changing into something by purging. We're changing into something by the elimination of doubts, fears, anxieties. And we're also praying like Finney did. Charles Finney, when he prayed and he came into an understanding that much of the church at large in the masses are truly just not even born again. They sit every week, they go to church, they go to mass or whatever, and they've never ever made that true commitment to Christ to where they become born again. And consequently, because of it, there's no change in their life. And consequently, because of it, when the word says don't do that, they find it very opposing to who they are. It makes them feel like, I cannot not do that. And they have already a built-in argument. Listen, for me to do what I'm called to do, or what to walk in righteousness, I'm not talking about my ministry call. For me to walk in righteousness is easy for me. It's an easy, I don't have a tough time gritting my teeth and just having to really buck up not to commit adultery on candy, because you'd kill me. But no, the real reason is this. It's not hard not to look on a woman with lust. It's not hard. Why? Because that's who I am. If you become who you are in righteousness, then not looking at porno is... It's not hard. Now, there's always the man part of you that has a natural attraction to say, oh, I can't look. Because there's that natural drawing. Listen, don't be stupid. Maybe I don't use that word in church, but don't be stupid. Don't prove how strong you are. I'm going to look at that just to show you I'm not going to lust. That's dumb on dumb. Sometimes the most valiant thing is to put your running sneakers on, like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife began to strip him, and he said, mm-mm. And he didn't sit around and say, I rebuke you, I ain't going to do this. He put his New Balance on, and he left the building. Better not seen, better not heard. Don't even go there. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but some of you need it. And I ain't looking at nobody. If you are, then you're not. And so much of the church is like, they don't even realize they're not even born again. And they're in this war, that the war would be over if they got born again. In other words, if they ever made that commitment to know him and they truly were changed, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if they truly were changed, then that would be their nature and it would be so much easier. So and then there's those who were changed and then they begin to believe a lie. And they may still be God's son or daughter, but yet they're flirting with sin and flirting with things and dabbling into stuff. Preacher, yes, pray for me for my finances. Because the devil's just working on them like crazy. Pray for me because I'm sick. Maybe I've got sickness in my body. Listen. For the man to say who's living with his girlfriend, contrary to the word of God, to say, bless my finances. That's like what, I don't mean to be mean, but maybe this isn't practiced in every place, but it's what a lot of Catholics believe, that just bless me where I'm at. Bless me where, let your blessings, and the reason why I say Catholics, I can remember Rocky when he rode up in that Harley, and he's fixing to go beat Mr. T's brains out. I think it was T. Might have been the other guy. But Father, send me down a blessing. Oh, numero Padre, el Hijo, Espíritu Santo. I bless you. No, listen. Listen. Here's the deal. This may sound real. You can't be blessed unless you can be blessed. What? You can't be blessed from him unless you can be, unless you qualify. You can't be messing around. John 8, Jesus said, I am the light of this world, and any man that follows me, he will not walk in spiritual darkness. You can't be doing things. Somebody said, well, nobody's perfect. I'm not talking about glory to glory. The revivalists are being changed from glory to glory. They've separated themselves from the Corinthians 6 sins, the Galatians 5 sins, and the Ephesians 5 sins, which are all killer sins, deal breaker sins. Those ones, if you continue in them, once you're born again, then you go back not to being born again and you qualify for hell. Those people, those Christians are not being changed from glory. Well, Pastor, how How many of you want me to be nice? Okay, good. Okay, I'll take her vote. Okay. I'm changing from glory to glory. Really? Yeah. I was looking at porno every day. Now I only do it 3 times a month. So I'm changing. I'm getting a little. No. The moment you come out of that, you didn't change from glory to glory. That verse doesn't apply to you. You came from darkness into light. You came from a purging of the body, a mortification. But the glory to glory is to those who've separated themselves a good distance away from the killer sins. And now are in that changing process from glory to glory to glory. Oh my God, I need some more amens all up in here. I get scared when some of you men don't give me amens. I'll tell you that much. Well, I do. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. Most of the body, because then you misconstrue that. Most of the body that are all of the revivalists, your healing hasn't taken place in full manifestation, primarily because of a change of faith, that subtle unbelief that Jesus talked about in Matthew 17, Mark 9, that is changing all the time. Yours is not a sin issue. But for those that are over in those other places, somebody said, well, you're talking, I'm sorry, this is not legalism, it's truth. You can't be blessed unless you can be blessed. In other words, healing is your covenant. Blessings of finances are your covenant. But if you're over in those other things, we're still in a war. How long will the war last? Until the end. Listen to this. This dream came from a lady that I know, Candy and I know her and her husband quite well, and they've been here and been with us, the Hardys from Georgia. This was from Jessica Hardy. It's very important that you listen, because it's for you out there. It's for us, all of us. Excuse me, I did a kind of a long run yesterday. I guess I got. Good day, Pastor Bronk. I'm just going to read the whole thing. It was such a pleasure to speak with you and hear a loving greeting from Candy. But more than this, the affirming of God's great goodness, as there's none good but Him and His everlasting love and mercy. The dream happened twice in the night and / early morning. Same dream 2 times. I would say that's from God, but with different endings. There probably is more in the symbolism of, she cites already, the dog and perhaps a guardian angel. The first went as follows. I was sitting in our family room / prayer room, and I believe I was praying when I sensed a dark presence come in, then a brindle-colored bulldog / pit mixed, most of you know what that is, just appeared coming from underneath the coffee table and was barking fiercely as if to protect and warn me of this being. I then told the dark presence to go, and it left. The second time, was exactly the same, but this time the dark presence was able to attack me before I was able to speak and had me on the floor as if sitting on top of me, keeping me from saying anything. But I mumbled, "Help, Jesus," and calling for Gary, that's her husband, to come. End. Gary was already up as usual, and he thought at first he was hearing our grandbaby crying, but realized it was me and came to the bedroom and touched me to wake me up, and I was grateful to wake up from this. I asked him to pray, and so he prayed peace over me and the household. And once I had all my senses about me, I told him I never felt afraid, which I know comes from knowing and trusting God more all these years as the years have gone by. As I have prayed and thought on this, I know the Lord is telling me to step it up. Everybody say, step it up. Come on, everybody say, step it up. Now you need to turn to somebody and say, step it up. Step it up. Step it up. Hallelujah. You thought with the election and all the good things that's been happening, you're going to take a break or something like that, right? Step it up. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. She said, step it up and heed and implement. This is what she got. Heed and implement. The message he is speaking to his church in these days of preparation, i.e. joyfully humbling ourselves in relating intimately with him. I looked up the word implement to make sure I understood. And the definition that stood out says, to put into practical effort, carry out. How great is that? She said, I know God is correcting me in allowing distractions take precedence of my time with him. These verses are resonating in me now. And she cites, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The current series, she cited, Discerning of Spirits, in which I think we've got one or two more of those lessons you are teaching, could not be more timely as we ready ourselves and will not be overtaken by darkness. And then she gives us this in Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take into you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take into you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm truly grateful, she says, for you and your ministry. And she blessed Candy and I in her closing remarks. We're going to talk about the war just as we close here. Now you'll find a close, if you'll look for the thread in between these last two dreams. The one comes from our Natalie, Gente, happens to not be here this morning. And the next one will come from Candy, she just recently had in the last week or two. She says, hey, Pastor, wanted to share something with you that I had dreamed earlier this month. I received a call from someone who was giving me a message from, and I'll leave this part out, certain person. But the message said, alert, alert, evacuate the building. Danger is coming. Now, she's in this dream. So I ended the call, and now my kids and I were on some hotel that was shaped like some skyscraper. It had, she knew in the dream, it had 20 floors, and it didn't look like it was in America. It was an international, and I was around a lot of children, she said. So I was running to the elevator to get my children, or my kids, and I kept yelling for everyone to evacuate. Danger is coming. Somehow the hotel also then got word about an active shooter. I wasn't sure if he was in the building or coming. So I ran up 20 flights of stairs and got my kids, as well as my nieces and my nephews. We ran out, but as we were leaving the rooms, I was grabbing as many children as I could to get them out of there yelling the same message, alert, alert, leave now, danger is coming. We made it out with so many kids. And I woke up, and it was 4:50 a.m., and began praying in the Spirit. I laid hands on my kids, but there was still a burden of prayer, so I kept praying. And as I was praying, it's like the dream continued only as I was fully awake praying. And I've had that happen. It's like you stop dreaming, but you're still seeing something. One vision, I guess, showed up my family on the side of the road up the street from the hotel. And a man pulled up in his truck and asked if we were there at the hotel. He gave me a chilly look and said, "So you made it out alive, huh?" Gave us a chilly look and sped off. And I think that was the active shooter, but I just kept praying. I really believe this was a prayer assignment for the unborn children missing, for the unborn, comma, children missing, and for all children, really. I'm sharing now because today's service and the importance of prayer and praise, let me know what you think, she said. And I did. I prayed over it. Now, this is just recently, last week, I believe. What? When, darling? Sunday morning. Candy said, "I woke up this morning from a dream that I had." She wasn't up no time before she began to tell me. "I had this dream. I woke up this morning from a dream that I had. The dream is this. I was in a church very similar looking to ours, but much larger, and I was sitting in the back row on the right side, looking back from the front to the back, and I had a lot of children around me." See the correlation already. "The chairs looked sort of like pews, and they had on the back of them a hole that went through the upper part of the back of the chairs. My granddaughter Ava was in front of me in a chair and was turning around towards me when a huge snake came out from the left side of the hole in her chair. I jumped and I reached and grabbed it by the neck with my right hand and would not let it go. I did not get high enough on its head to keep it from biting me. It did bite my thumb, but as it was biting me, I would not let it go or would not let go of it. I started yelling for help, and as the snake began to wrap its body around my right arm and I held it in my right hand, people began running out of the church, and Bronk came walking calmly towards me with a pair of scissors in his hand. And he reached down and cut the head off of this snake, big snake. And that's when she said, "I woke up." We're on the precipice of the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit that the world has ever seen. It's called what we affectionately call revival, the end time harvest, the fullness of the kingdom of God coming. What has happened in our nation just in the last 2 weeks was an incredible miracle. It's not the revival. It's the possibilities of a facilitation for, in other words, a help. It can only help. But we are in a war. And if we ever sit back on our haunches and believe that anything in the natural gives us justification to stop believing for the laser focus of the spiritual war to be won, then the enemy has got us a degree off. And we have to continue to understand this. We have to labor because there's a war. One, these are warnings from the Spirit to stay close in the Spirit, protect your children, pray for your children. We're going to close today by praying for the 300 plus thousand lost children that have probably in some kind of, maybe tens of thousands of them that have come across the border that have been sold for sex slaves. That as we sit here and worship God, they're in hell. If God can't come and get you or get me for a purpose, then who's he going to get? ICE, maybe they'll help them. But it's our responsibility to break these things in the Spirit and to cover our children and to believe. Listen, you've got to understand this. I hope that in these closing moments I can get this across to you. In the natural realm, something incredible has happened. I'm certain of this. I am totally certain of this. The cohorts of Satan and Satan himself did not totally expect what happened last Tuesday or the Tuesday before. They did not know. He's not omnipotent or omniscient, knowing everything. In fact, it really it was a surprise to him that Jesus rose. It really was. And he knew Scripture. And the princes of this world would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And it's not talking about the spiritual princes, but Herod and Pilate and all of the governors. They were led by demonic spirits. Satan was foiled and he was surprised, just like he was surprised 2 weeks ago in the election. And he just like, but know this, it's just like a prize fighter that has been knocked down. Right now, they're confused. The enemy's confused. But I'm saying all that to say this. Set natural things aside. Just set people aside. The enemy has not had his finest day yet. You have to understand. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble out there or ours. We need to thank God for what has happened and the possibility of what has happened in the next 4 years. But understand this. If we ever think that, oh, Mr. Trump's in office, things are going to happen. If you ever start thinking like we're building a utopia of things always getting better, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Now, we may have a let me frame it like this. What has just recently happened is a window. It's a window of time. The window of time to facilitate, in other words, these things will help us help win a billion souls with less persecution. But the window is going to shut. And I'm sorry, it's not going to be a utopia that just keeps building and keeps getting better and better and better. When Josiah became the last king of Judah, He had and I'm not saying that this is a template for the window that I'm talking about, but he had a 31-year reign. His incredible reformation that took place, and he just got rid of everything that was, we would call, idol worship, junk, and he took all the idols out of the house of God. Just incredible reformation. You'd have thought that that would have lasted. As soon as he died, immediately, things digressed to worse than they were before, and the kingdom was destroyed. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. We need to know the truth. I can tell you this. This is a window. How long it lasts, I don't know. Will it last 10 years? We get a reformation of 10 years, 20? I don't know. Maybe it's long. We want it to be as long as possible, but I can tell you this. Listen, and I'm a long ways from being an expert on this, but the Antichrist spirit comes into fruition. Sorry, saints. We can't, it's like Judgment Day on the Terminator. You know, they fought and fought to keep it from happening. They found out it never was possible to keep it from happening. Judgment Day came. And listen, in Revelation 13, he makes war against the saints, and the word says he overcomes them. The Antichrist will overcome the saints. In other words, he will come into jurisdiction, and it won't be that we keep building. At some point, the window closes, and when it does, things get bad quick. They get bad quick. In other words, he has not had his finest hour. But the good part is his best part, when he's at his peak of power, is only 42 months. So he's got a short tenure of power. And then Christ comes back. But I'm telling you, we've got to use what space we have. We've got to pray for the church, for the church to get saved, or go into full-blown revival. We've got to understand that there's a war that has come. And I'll tell you what, even what we're celebrating right now is going to, as soon as the enemy gets his wits about him, he's gonna backlash this and come out at this administration like never before in the natural. So you better get ready for a war. But the war is this. We've got to birth this revival. And we've got to hold on, and we've got to raise our kids. The enemy is coming after your kids. And the physical part is, you better know where your kids are at and cover them in prayer when they go to the mall, when they go this, or where they go that, or what, wherever. Because this is a crazy world. And Donald Trump, I'm sorry, he cannot protect you. Only Jesus can. You know, he can provide thank God for things. Listen. It's war. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Sing it once again, could you? Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. We exalt you. We exalt you, Jesus. Just followed what I heard, that's all. Just let's just lift him up before we go out of here today. We exalt you, Jesus. Wherever you will be, Jesus, worship you. The Lamb upon the throne. Worship you, Jesus. And worship you alone. Wherever you will. Watching this morning, let's just continue to worship God. Don't let me interrupt you. If you're in here, if anyone's in question about their salvation and knowing God, it's not joining a church, it's not giving an amount of money, it's not anything that you can do outside of just surrendering your heart. And the simplicity of it is to just simply trust Jesus as Savior. And when I say trust Him, you do that with words. And the words are this: if you confess Him and say, "I confess you," and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead for you, and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and wash you in His blood, He does that. And everybody makes mistakes, and you'll make mistakes and things will happen past that moment in time. But each time you just say, "I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me." And He does. Let's all pray this prayer together in unison. I think it'll help us all. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I receive You as my Lord and as my Savior. I confess You and I believe You that You died for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, of every sin I've ever committed, and wash me in Your blood. I receive You, Jesus, as my way to heaven, and I give myself to You. In Jesus' name, amen." God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We love all of you that are watching and everyone in here. Blessings. We'll see you tonight.